If you got so much testosterone, you don't know what to do with it, well, this is the right show for you. This is Grapple Talk with Nick Ragner and A.C. Riley. That's right, Grapple Talk, the man show for the true hombre in all of us. So stick around. You're about to be blown away.
The following podcast is scheduled for one awesome show and has a time limit of 60 minutes. And here are your hosts!
And welcome to Grapple Talk. This is episode number 28. My name, as everybody probably knows by now because I have a loud mouth, I am Nick Ragner, joined by A.C. Riley and Jesse Von Ruden. And guys, big show on tap for this week. Well, you know, it's kind of a slow week. We don't have a guest this week on the Spotlight in the Squared Circle, but we might have a remedy for that.
Well, apparently big enough show that you forgot your new name.
What's that?
Nicky Douche.
Oh, I'm Nicky Douche now.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. Hey, he said he liked it.
He did.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He said that he enjoyed the name, right?
He said it rolled off the tongue.
It does roll off the tongue. It does sound really good. But this week, you know, we have a jam-packed show. There's a lot of shows coming up this weekend. And, you know, A.C. Riley, actually, why don't you start us off?
Upcoming shows.
All right, we're going to start things off of a show that you and I are going to be heading off to Saturday. Fusion Pro Wrestling, they'll be at the Izzy's Pub on 186 Broadway Street in Berlin, Wisconsin. That's on Saturday, like the rest of the shows will be on.
Yep.
We'll be seeing J.J. Ryan defend against T.Z. Washington, FPW television title.
Not a bad match.
We'll also see some tag action. Scott Williams and Jack Spade against two legit Skylar Reed and the wrestling pirate Johnny Swashbuckle.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a pirate, man?
We just talked about names last week.
That is definitely the second wrestling pirate I have seen. The other one doesn't wrestle that much anymore.
Okay.
He does a lot of Renaissance fairs, though.
You talking about Paul Burchill, or what are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about a name that I can't remember right now.
I thought he was talking about.
That's the only guy. We also see veteran versus new guy. We'll see Angelo Marni, who we haven't seen in quite some time. He's taking on John Hudson, and that is...
John Hudson.
Hudson. Excuse me.
He's just saying the guy's name wrong. Come on.
Anyways.
It's a plain name.
So that the first match will start at 4 p.m. It's an early show. But yeah, it'll be a good time.
Well, it's probably a lot of these shows are starting early because you have Father's Day the following day, and everyone wants to be home with their dad.
That's very true.
That's my prerogative. Mm-hmm. Coming up also that day, we have New Age Wrestling's Food Drive for the Community. That is that Saturday at Charlie's D&D Bar and Grill in Winona, Minnesota. That's 170 West 2nd Street. The first match will also be at 4 p.m. And what's really cool about this event is that NAW has decided that any person that brings the most canned food items will get their very own lucha mask. And then get this, if you're in second place in bringing those canned food items, you will get an autographed poster of the event with all the wrestlers' names on it. So that's pretty cool, man. I mean, they're trying to help in every single way they can for a good cause.
What kind of lucha mask do you think it is?
I don't know, man. That's a good question.
Oh, it's a great question. I want to say it's like a psychosis mask. It's got the horns
like that. If it's a psychosis mask, we might have to skip out on Fusion Pro and go down there and donate some food, man.
I don't think you want to admit that.
No, yeah, I don't want to admit that. Oh, man, I'm going to have people knocking on my door tomorrow. Scheduled to appear at this event, Winona's own Vanilla Thrilla, Damon Knight, Boardman, Butchie Davis, and a ton more. That's going to be New Age Wrestling's Food Drive for the Community. And I believe, actually, that it's a... Is it a free event? Is that a free... And then if you bring... As long as you bring canned food, is that how that works?
I think that's how they were saying it was going to go
down.
Yeah,
like you can get admission if you bring two canned food items, I believe is what it was. So, yeah, if you're in Winona, Minnesota...
Two cans minimum.
Yep, help out for a good cause, and you can see some good independent professional wrestling. And then what else is going on?
Oh, so we also got Gala Presents Underground Wrestling on Saturday, June 14th. It'll be in Valla Park, Illinois at 270 West Avenue North, Unit 21. Now, when you hear Unit 21, you almost think of that as like an apartment?
I don't know, because I kind of thought it was like a rental, like it was like maybe a storage unit?
I think it is. There's been a couple places in Illinois. I actually did some training in a storage unit.
No way.
Was actually kind of fun.
Really? How much did you pay for that?
I paid nothing.
Well, of course, bell time is going to be at 7. Our main events, One Sexy Mofo, Bryce Benjamin, with James Russo, and the American Voodoo, which would be Mojo McQueen. Wow. They'll be taking on the Angel of Flight, Mike Matthews, and Punisher 747.
Could there be any more name hype in that matchup?
You know what's kind of funny, actually? One of my buddies, when we were growing up, his backyard moniker was Mike Matthews.
Was it really?
Yeah, I don't think it's the same guy, though.
It might be, though.
Making his underground debut would be the Lost Soul, Chris Cairo, which is kind of funny because he actually was homeless for a while, so you almost wonder if he actually didn't make his underground debut at some point in time. And, of course, he'd be taking on Joey Max, or actually, is that Mark?
That's Marks.
Wow, that is Joey Marks, I believe. So, Joey Marks, I apologize for maxing out your Mark name.
Whoops.
Of course, the tag team match, of course, after that would be Mike Anthony and the Bruiser of the Midway, Max Holiday, taking on Team Glitterbomb.
Hashtag
Glitterbomb, which, of course, would be Brian Fellows and Skits M. Jones. Now, we've seen Skits M. Jones quite a bit. He's a very nice guy.
He's a cool guy.
He's very neon-y.
Yeah,
I think would be the correct
really
term.
Skittily.
He looks like if you took a bag of Skittles, like you said, you chewed him up and spit him back out. That's him. Now, I'm saying that in the nicest way.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Fun fact: Did you know he was in the Army back in the day?
I did not know he was in the Army. What corps was he in?
I don't know. He just did a throwback Thursday a couple weeks back, and it was a picture of him in the Army.
Well, of course, tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for kids, and if you're under 12 years old. Well, you get him for free. Dad's also getting free with a paid ticket for a son or a daughter.
Hey, that's kind of cool.
So that's actually kind of neat. So if you're a father and you want to go see a wrestling show, this might be the one for you.
Yeah, that's a – man, what? I mean, I can't think of a better – I mean, the week after we talk about, like, you know, name hype, and then just the names you read out, I'm just like –
clearly, they heard the last episode, and they're like, we need to get this super hyped up.
How far away is Villa Park from Berlin, Wisconsin?
You know, that's a
– we have enough time to make that.
I don't think you guys will have enough time. I want to say that's a good six-hour drive.
Yeah,
that's probably – I mean, you know, Golly Wrestling, I've seen them pop up with shows, like, pretty much every week. It seems like they always have a show going on, so – you know, I definitely don't think they're going to lose any money on having dads get in for free.
Well, that's a really kind of cool thing. If you're fed or that territory can actually withstand having wrestling shows each and every week, that is amazing.
Yeah,
like,
that is.
Hey, to say it, guys, like we being here on the western side of the state, we're lucky if we get a show every 3 months.
Oh, yeah, I know. 100% I know what you mean. So, you know, that's really cool, too, because that gives fans something to go to every single week. As you just kind of said, it's something that I've actually kind of, I think all of us have actually kind of yearned for ever since we broke into the business, is, you know, having that consistency where you have that same show at that same venue every single week or every single month. But speaking of, you know, shows having credibility, I mean, we also have another huge show coming up this weekend as well. We have First Wrestling's WrestlePalooza 4. That's going to be also on Saturday at First Ab in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, I mean, we went to the last WrestlePalooza. We're not going to be able to make it to this one, but man, like, they have all the names that came from last time. Plus, Colt Cabana is going to be there. So, I mean, it blows my mind. Yabble the Clown is going to be there.
One thing I want to say is that you can definitely tell that we, you know, honored the first come first serve kind of basis, is because, you know, we found out about the Fusion Pro show, and then literally like a couple days later, First Wrestling announced this show on the 14th, and you're like, we got to honor the booking.
Yeah, we got to honor the booking, but I mean,
we're going to honor the booking with somewhat of a heavy heart. We're going to, you know, definitely, it's going to be a good cause, and it's going to be a lot of fun, but, you know, it's not going to be without, you know.
As we talked about, you know, before, you know, last week we kind of led off with it. You know, I mean, the talent that's going to be there, you know, Yellow Dog. I mean, you also have, was it Wildcat? Yeah, Wildcat, the crime-fighting feline. Apparently he also fights crime.
Meow.
You know, Wildcat. You know, Pete Huge is going to be there. Rob James is going to be there. The North Star Express, one of my favorite tag teams. One of the first really, really talented independent tag teams that I actually got to see. I believe, was that New Age Wrestling that they were at?
I believe
at?
So, yeah.
Yeah, up in, what was that? Was that Amory?
It might have been Amory.
It was Amory.
Yeah,
it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So what you're saying is that the North Star Express is your favorite tag team that you have seen, and Team Dick Smash is your favorite team that you haven't seen.
I wouldn't even go that far. I mean, I don't really pick favorites. I wouldn't really necessarily say. Obviously, I mark out for the name, but I was only at a couple independent wrestling shows at that point, and then we went up to Amory, and I didn't know what to expect, and then I saw this North Star Express with Ryan Cruz and Darren Corbin, and I was like, wow, these guys are really, really good. Like, it was you know, awesome seeing those guys. So, you know, I always remember who the North Star Express are just based on that, you know, that one time that I got to see them. But, you know, also, you know, like I said, Colt Cabana is going to be there. The Anarchist Eric Cannon is going to be there, as he is at every first show. Rough Crossing is going to make a first appearance, which is really cool. Horus of Psychopath, we're going to see Deputy Rob Justice, who we couldn't figure out the name of last time.
Oh, he was such a dick.
He was such a dick. What a, you know, and he played a cop, so, you know, why not? I mean, and the list goes on and on, guys. I got to know, you know, what are how do you guys think WrestleBlues is going to be this time around?
Well, WrestleBlues is always, it's always a party atmosphere.
You know,
you get the beverages flowing. You have the breaks with the band. We're going to have Banner Pilot there this time. Plus, you got the world-class burlesque with Queenie Von Curbs and Sweet Pea.
Which was pretty cool last
time.
That
was really cool because, like, you're so used to seeing just match after match after match. But they're very good about letting the crowd rest.
Yeah.
And giving them something else to do.
Yeah.
Give them time to go to the bar. Time to go get nachos. I mean, it was one of those things where we were making frequent stops to the bar. I'm not going to lie. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that there's not a bad seat in that joint.
No, there
at
really
all. Like,
yeah.
We were on, I would say it would be, like, stage left.
Yep.
Right against one of the rails. And we're literally, like, 10 feet away from the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was packed. It was fun.
Yeah, it was.
It was one of those shows, like, you got to, it's an experience more than anything else.
Yeah, it's really cool because, you know, it's almost like with that entire crowd there, you just feel like you're really a part of something because everybody is so into the shows there, and they make everything so fun. And, like, what we talked about, me and Riley talked about actually the last time we went to First and we kind of talked about the recap of the show was that, you know, it was a different atmosphere. Like, they didn't do a lot of, as far as, I guess, like, storylines in the matchups, but they did a lot of storytelling in the matchups. And plus, I mean, the action was just off the wall. You want to talk about, you know, I know there's a lot of people that I'm just going to, you know, say this. You know, a lot of people don't really like those kind of like spot fest matches. And, I mean, that's kind of how a lot of these matches were, I feel like, last time. But, man, were they just so, like, it was kind of almost, it was like, it was a different kind of show than we're used to seeing here in Wisconsin. So I think that's why it was so influential and so cool to see. And I think if you have the chance to hit up at WrestlePalooza, I mean, obviously, if you have the chance to, you know, hit up any of these shows, you might as well go. But, I mean, if you're in the Minneapolis area, you will not go wrong in spending your money to go see the show.
You know, that's definitely the show you don't want to miss if you're up in that market this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, you were talking about it that they don't really do a whole lot of storytelling, you know, as far as a giant, you know, feud or anything like that. But if you think about it, you know, this show was on Saturday, right?
Uh-huh.
And when was the last show? Months ago, right?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
I mean, that's the thing. You can't really hold a storyline or a feud, you know, if you think about it. You know, if you're feuding with a guy, you know, 3 months ago, and it just drops at that and you come back, you know, why are you guys going to still be feuding? I'm still mad at you because I remember what you did 5 months ago.
You see, that's always one of those funny things. Like, you can have overarching storylines and stuff like that where if you have your regulars, they're going to remember. You know, and that's one of the great things about building a fan base is that you can remember that type of stuff. But one of the things that we did notice when we were at that show last time was they started the show with an angle and they finished that show with
exactly.
that angle.
And it was really hot, too.
Yes. Got,
because they started off with Yellow Dog and Wildcat.
Yep.
And people really got behind them. You know, it was a really fun matchup. It was kind of cute. You know, it was like, oh, they're, you know, doing these cat and dog monikers. It was like, oh, this is kind of cool to get behind. And then they come out and get beat up and you're like, all right, that's the end of them. They're just a bunch of, you know, we thought they were, in my opinion, I didn't know who they were, so I thought they just got jobbed. I'm like, whatever, stuff happens. And then when they come out at the end to save the day, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so f***ing awesome.
You always got to swear now, don't you?
It's so awesome.
You got to swear every once in a while. Yeah, because like it was the Misfits. It was John Johnson and Aaron Corbin who actually ruined that match. And then at the end, they got their comeuppance, and everyone went home happy.
Yeah, really happy.
And that's the thing, too, is that you know back in the day, as we know, First used to do like monthly shows at First Ave. Mm-hmm. But you know, just because Air Cannon and all their main talent was always doing other stuff, you know, like going to Chikara, going you know to Illinois, all over. And everything like that, you know, it just was a balance of sorts. You know, they couldn't really keep running shows monthly. And I think the WrestleBalooza is definitely a good way to go about it because, you know, you have a show every so often. You can really build it up. And as it shows, you know, people always show up. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where they can keep the shows going and it's not like, you know, 3 months off lowers the attendance, it actually makes it bigger.
What was the chant that we got going that night? Wasn't it like magic carpet or wasn't it something like that?
I believe there, yeah. Daivari actually uses that magic carpet. Then he actually got the chant going on. He was, I want to say he was the MVP of that show.
That was such a good
kinda
match, man.
Looking forward to what he would be doing, and I'm going to have to keep on Twitter that night just to see what he's going to do. So that brings up an interesting question. I mean, we've both been, all three of us been talking back and forth what makes First Avenue special in comparison to another show, but what's like the pros and cons of that? So if you had a chance to actually, let's say Like, there's a little fancy book in here, right?
Okay.
How would you guys set up a show if you were running a show? I know, Alex, over here, you've actually ran a show before. But how would you go about it?
Oh, that's a really good question. Like, I guess, what do you, do I have, like, what kind of restrictions do I have? Like, do I have the certain roster? Like, how does that, how are you making this work?
All right, would you run weekly? Would you do monthly? Would you do more event type of thing?
I don't know. That's a good question because, like I said earlier, I kind of like the whole, I like the monthly. Weekly seems like it could be really overwhelming and, you know, it's something that you have to have that, you know, determination and stuff. And it seems like, you know, if you have too much stuff going on, you know, things could get lost in the shuffle. I like the monthly idea, you know, maybe trying to build those storylines. I think writing is, you know, in my opinion, to be one of my most favorite things to do is like writing out a storyline, you know, trying to figure out where guys can go, you know, where. I think that's one of the, you know, the coolest aspects of professional wrestling, and then adding that to the indie scene just makes it even that much better. So I think that'd be really cool, and, you know, trying to book, you know, these storylines together and things like that, just, you know, being a fantasy booker. I think that's, you know, one of the coolest things. And then building, obviously, you know, that trusted fan base that comes back day in and day out, or week in, or month in and month out, I guess, more or less. I think that'd be one of the coolest parts about independent professional wrestling. But obviously, you know, First makes it work with booking, you know, once every 5 months or whatever. And, I mean, they just bring in great talent and they put together great shows and they have an awesome fan base there too. But, yeah, my opinion, I couldn't really give you a wrestler or anybody I want to bring in particular because, you know, there's, you know, a lot of great talent everywhere. But it's booking monthly and writing. I think writing would be one of the funnest aspects of, you know, booking a show.
You know, I agree. And, you know, I've done shows. Last year I did 2 shows in the year. This year I did 1, hopefully 2, but, you know, that's kind of the downside of, you know, trying to wait for a phone call that maybe won't show up.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. But, you know, I personally like doing, you know, the shorter, you know, the less shows in the year because I feel less is more. You know, you think about it, you know, if you don't do it a whole lot, you know, for me, I like to get the praise of, you know, when are you doing your next show? Because people seem to have fun when I do them. And then it's kind of like if I do it over and over again, it's less special. It's kind of like it's just a normal booking for them. But if, you know, if they like what I do and I'm doing very little, it's almost like a delicacy.
So you're almost looking at more from like the worker's perspective of being able to come and wrestle at your shows more or less than just the idea behind the show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in a perfect world, if I could run shows monthly or something like that, I totally would do that. But, you know, the way things are right now and the more realism, I am totally content with just doing 1 show a year and everything like that. And one match I would really like to see, I just want to say it, and I really want to book it. Hopefully it works. I'd want to see Horses Psychopath take on Chase McCoy.
Yeah, you were
Psycho
talking
versus
about
Psychopath.
That. Yeah, you were talking
yeah,
about
it wouldn't
that.
Be too bad.
It'd
be a good match. I would like that.
Yeah,
match.
That's a good match. What about you, Jesse? What do you think?
You know, it's a really good question. It was my question, too.
It was
now
your
I'm
question.
Like, oh my God, the pressure is on. I kind of like the idea of doing something where it feels more like an event instead of a show.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people sometimes just see a poster for a show and like, okay, why is this one special? If you can give them a reason why it's special, that's really cool. Wisconsin Pro Wrestling does a really good job about that, where every show's got a name.
Yeah.
SWE, when they were running, had a show with a name all the time. And then you, on the flip side, you look at, like, maybe New Age Wrestling, which doesn't really name their shows. It's just New Age Wrestling coming to, like, Whitehall or something like that. So it's like, okay, what's so special about that? I think definitely getting it out there. You got to hit the social media, and you got to blitz the media. You know, I'm talking, if you can afford it, run TV ads, but radio. Especially in this side of the state,
yeah, of course.
Works wonders because there's so many people on the road all the time.
Yep.
So if you hit up the main stations, you know, Midwest Family Broadcasting, Magnum Broadcasting, all that type of stuff, I mean, you find those right target audience, you can get more people at your shows. I mean, last week here we had Livewire, and he said that radio helped him out tremendously.
Yep.
And I think it's something that a lot of people don't really look into. Because if you look at it, one of the feds that, you know, God rest their soul, Seven Rivers Wrestling, right? Never really blanketed the media as well as they should
have.
Exactly. And I think that always kind of led to their downfall.
Yeah, so. I agree 100%. You know, what I think is actually really interesting, too, is that when people talk about, you know, not necessarily wanting to run ads in certain areas based on location and people wanting to come. I mean, guys, we drove, you know, 2.5 hours to go see First. Now, First is a different monster because they have that, you know, they have that resume. But at the same time, they're just another indie promotion. And, you know, us three were willing to drive 2.5 hours and drop quite a bit of money just to see an independent wrestling show. You know, that, so that, I mean, the driving distance, I think, you know, although an excuse for some, isn't as big of an excuse as, you know, some people might make it out to be, because if you put on a good enough show or you promote a show good enough, people are going to be willing to drive to that show or go want to go see that show, and I think that's something, too, that a lot of people need to look into.
I know we've been debating whether or not to go down to Des Moines for 3XW one of these times.
See?
I know they got a show coming up July 11th. I mean, it's going to be their 9th anniversary show and stuff like that. It's definitely going to be one of those shows where they're going to be pulling in fans from all over the
place.
Exactly. Especially if it's going to be one of those shows that's more of an event than a show.
Exactly. And, you know, I guess, you know, into some more, you know, somber news really quick before we go to break. I got to mention this to make sure everybody knows about it in case you weren't maybe keeping up with social media or what have you. Speaking of anniversaries, 7RW, Seven Rivers Wrestling, you know, mainly stationed here in La Crosse, Wisconsin, finally, you know, going on and saying, you know, they're done for good. You know, they're closing their doors for good. I know that, you know, especially you, Jesse, I know you at AC Rally, you guys worked there more than I did, but I was also part of that promotion, and, you know, we were there for a while, and it's, you know, it's kind of sad whenever a promotion closes their doors because, you know, 7RW hasn't ran for a while, but there was always, you know, that, you know, they always had a really good locker room and stuff like that, and it was always really fun going to the shows, and, you know, you always, you know, as long as the Facebook page is open, you're always kind of like, oh, maybe one day they'll run again, but, you know, that doesn't appear to be the case, so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, any thoughts on that AC Rally? I mean, it's a promotion you used to work for, so.
You know, it's unfortunate because, you know, back in the day, you used to see so many shows right in the La Crosse area. You really don't see that too much, and, you know, Seven Rivers Wrestling was one of them that was doing it. You know, they did really well at the shows in Howie's. You know, unfortunately, Howie's did new management, new style. Great style, by the way.
Great place to go.
But
phenomenal food.
Great food. At the same time, it's
very
almost
good-looking waitresses.
Can I keep
talking? Good. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, that's the thing is that, you know, sometimes I go in there and it's kind of sad, kind of looking at it like, oh, I used to wrestle here and I can't really do that anymore because, you know, a ring won't fit there.
Yep.
Maybe Buck Zumhoff's ring, but he's not really running anytime.
Oh, well, he's running a different way
right now.
Man.
We just went there.
But, you know, anyways, it is sad because you really don't see a whole lot of people in this area. So, I mean, that we're definitely doing a lot more road trips, which is, you know, I'm not complaining about that.
Well, yeah, you know, why would you complain about
exactly.
that?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's you sleep the whole time.
Oh, yeah, you guys are funny. No, I'm saying we kind of are.
I'm saying,
bottom line is that it doesn't really matter, you know, if we have to go out to another show. I mean, that's just, you know, part of the business. But it is unfortunate that, you know, a lot of people have the luxury of, oh, this show's like half an hour for me. Yeah, I'll kind of take my time. We don't really have that luxury.
Yeah,
it was kind of nice to have that luxury. Well, the show's just right down the road. When do you guys want to leave? Like, okay, we'll leave whenever.
Yeah.
I got a lot of really great memories. I honestly can't remember if I missed one. I think I missed one show for Seven Rivers.
I think you did too.
And I can remember Stable number 12 against Forces Beyond Man, that tables match at Howie's. How that place just came unglued when Stable number 12 won the belts. You had the great feud between Stardom and Livewire. Nathan Sensation against Ian Xavier. We had you guys with Connor. That was a hot gimmick. You had so many good things going on, and it was just one of those things where maybe it was just bad luck after bad luck after bad luck. Difference in venues, difference of opinions backstage, and it just it died with a whimper instead of going out with a bang.
Exactly.
And it's one of those things where you sit back and when you're on the road trip, you almost wonder, what if, man?
Yeah, really.
What if?
Yeah, what if? I mean, that could have been one of the bigger promotions here in Wisconsin. Sadly, they're closing the doors, as I said. And, you know, I always remember them for getting pile-driven in and then also taking two RKOs within a matter of a couple minutes. So.
You know, actually, if you get a chance, look it up on YouTube. it's perfect. That's all I'm going to say, folks.
Yeah, okay. Thank
Maybe
you very
we'll,
much,
Maybe we'll link it on the Grapple Talk Maybe. Facebook this week.
Anyway, might as well.
Which,
might
thank
well.
You for everyone who actually liked it. We're up to 200 likes as of this recording. That's really
are
awesome,
Are we actually
guys.
At 200 now? We were at 199 last time I checked.
Yeah, we're at 200.
He's been blitzing everyone about it. So.
Hell yeah, man. We're at 200. And by the way, we're going to say this a little later, but we have new handles now.
We have new handles.
Yeah, you can find us.
We have new handles that Nick can actually remember.
Yeah, you can find us at The Grapple Talk on both Facebook and Twitter. It's The Grapple Talk is our handle because
it's not bad.
A little simpler. I couldn't figure out which. You know, we're not really affiliated with the radio station anymore, so had to figure out a new handle. We can.
Well, we're still kind of affiliated with them, but not so much in the summer.
Yeah, so
and
I mean,
it's one of those things where in the long run, we're not going to be with RAQ forever. I mean, you know, once we graduate and stuff like that, we'll probably. You know, go to different spaces and greener pastures and everything like that.
Okay.
But, you know,
Fair enough.
You know, it's going to be really weird putting RAQ Grapple Talk on something that we haven't been affiliated with in, like, how many years in the long run.
So now we are The Grapple Talk.
The Grapple Talk.
Which is, I think that's, do you like it, Jesse? I don't know.
How about we play a little Pomps and Circumstances as we go to commercial break here? Because you guys are graduating away from RAQ Radio.
Okay, let's do that. We'll be right back right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
For some reason, they let these stupid fans build weapons out of Legos to be used in this match.
Thanks for joining all summer long.
This was the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
Grapple Talk, what's going on, guys? We got our spotlight. Unfortunately, we couldn't get a guest this week. Them's the breaks of trying to get the new situation figured out. You know, we're still trying to work it out how to get a phone connected to the mixer. So we're doing a lot of in-studio interviews and everything like that. Couldn't get one this week. But you know what? Something I thought about.
What'd you think about?
You know, we've done a spotlight with me.
Yep.
We've done one with Jesse.
Yeah, that's true.
Haven't really done one with you yet.
Ah, we don't need to do one with
you. We're going to do one.
Spotlight.
No, take that off me.
All in favor?
You can't see the
nobody
hands
can see
in
anything,
the air.
Yeah.
But
Jesse and AC
well.
Outrule Nick. Majority rules.
I have two votes.
You're not.
Because my name's first on the poster of Grapple Talk, so I count as two.
How did that happen?
I don't make the poster.
I don't think that works. So majority rules on this. So we're going to pick your brain a little bit.
It's a spotlight in the squared circle.
You know, we hear you a lot, but we don't really get to hear your thoughts a lot of it. So, you know, start us off a little bit, man. I mean, you know, why'd you get into wrestling?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. I have the reason that I actually enjoyed professional wrestling when I was, you know, younger is that the only vague memory I have of pro wrestling is that I remember I went to my great grandparents' house, and all I remember is that my mom was like, "Oh, you gotta turn this channel on TV or whatever," you know. And I remember that she turned the TV on and it was SmackDown. I remember that it was SmackDown. I remember seeing, you know, the old school. You remember the old school, like when SmackDown first came on? You know, like late '90s maybe with the rings or whatever on the stage? You know,
It was like the ovals.
Yeah, the ovals. Yeah. And I remember Rock was on there and he was wearing like one of his Hawaiian, you know, $1,000, $1 million shirts or whatever. And I remember he was cutting a promo and I don't know why, but like all of a sudden I was like, dude, that's pretty cool, man. Like I don't have that cool story where I was like, yeah, I was at like WrestleMania 2 and I saw a freaking, you know, this happen. I was more just sitting at my great grandparents' house and I saw Rocky cutting a promo and I was like, that guy seems like cool. You know, he seems like Mr. Cool J.
You know what's a fun fact, Jesse?
Yeah, what's that?
Nick actually turned me on to professional wrestling.
I did.
Wow, now.
Way back in the day when we were hanging out, like, for one of the first times, is that, you know, he had, like, the best of Raw, like, you know, 10 years of Raw or whatever like that, you know, way back in the day. Like, they're showing all the, like, the Monday Night Wars, all that stuff. We just sat down and watched that. And right there, that was, like, when I knew I wanted to get into wrestling.
See, I thought it was kind of interesting because, like, after that, I got kind of hooked. You know, I got brought to a couple live events, you know, here in La Crosse. You know, I never really went to anything big or anything. I don't really have a cool story about that. But, you know, like, I'd always be, like, talking about it when I was a little kid. I tried to do, like, suplexes on, like, teddy bears and stuff like that. And my mom would just buy me, you know, wrestling VHSs, and I'd sit there and, you know, watch them instead of watching, you know, Rugrats and watching Hey Arnold and stuff. I'd sit there in my bedroom and watch, you know, Mankind's VHS or whatever have you, and, you know, Best of Raw, Best of TLC, and all this other stuff. So I'd watch all of those, and I'm actually, this is another memory I have. I do remember, you know, because there's always pro wrestling haters, and my stepdad was a pro wrestling hater, and I remember one day I was watching one of my VHSs, and he, like, breaks into my room. He's like, "Hey," and he, you know, he pulls out, like, old school UFC stuff. I'm talking when they didn't have weight classes, when you see 700 pound dude take on, like, a 150 guy. He brought that. He's like, "Hey, this is real fighting right here. Why don't you watch this?" And I was like, "Screw off, stepdad. You don't know me." So then I gave him the rock bottom, and I threw the elbow pad off and hit him with the people's elbow.
Well, did you actually watch the UFC event too or not?
I didn't. I think I popped it in for a second, and I do vaguely remember. That's how I know the weight class thing. Like, you know, I remember seeing there was this big dude versus little guy. I was like, "What is this crap? Is this a cage match or what is this?" And I took it out and I, you know, popped back in another DVD.
And it was the Big Show versus Rey Mysterio event.
Well, go figure how that one works out. So definitely, you're a guy who corrected a lot of tapes. You had the best of TLC.
Yeah, I did.
The Tables, Ladders, Chairs one. I had that same cassette too.
Did you really?
That cassette is amazing. It was one of those things where I don't know if you did it or not. Did you go out and try to emulate the moves on a trampoline after?
Oh,
effect?
My gosh. You know, people always talk about how bad it is to backyard and stuff.
We all did it.
And, you know, I mean, you know, my mom came home one day with a trampoline, and I was like, this is the greatest day of my life. This is the I can now be a professional wrestler. So, you know, I'd come out there, you know, and oh man, I mean, Riley, you know, I don't hate to pull you into this, but, you know, we had so many Iron Man matches, it was ridiculous. And you know,
they were actually a lot of fun. I will say that.
We were just kids though, you know, we were just kids having fun. Like we can't train when we're 9 years old. So no. What else are we supposed to do? We're supposed to wrestle on a trampoline, you know, and possibly break each other's necks. But, you know, yeah, exactly though. I mean, I would go over to friends' houses and, you know, I got so embellished in just everything wrestling. You know, like, I bought the action figures, you know, I bought all the video games, I bought posters, I bought everything I possibly could, and it was just wrestling 24/7 with me. And, you know, the terrible thing of it too is that, you know, I think this is something that, you know, I think I don't know if I find weird or, you know, anything, because it doesn't seem like I've talked to other people, and I don't know if this doesn't happen to anybody else, but it was almost like I was casted away for loving professional wrestling so much when I was growing up. I mean, it was like a taboo sort of thing, like where in, you know, elementary school, you know, it was a cool thing to do, Stone Cold Steve Austin, 316, whatever. But, you know, then once middle school hit, it was like it wasn't cool to like pro wrestling anymore. So I got a lot of hate for, you know, loving the game, you know, and like, I always thought that was really weird because it seemed like, you know, a lot of guys we had on stuff, like nobody would ever mention that, and I thought that was normal, because when I talked to other people, I'm like, is this normal? Because it was like a lot of hate. Like, I got a lot of hate for it.
I gotta almost agree with you, Nick. Like, I remember, I'm a little bit older than both of you guys, so like my elementary school, of course, was like early 90s and stuff like that. So like wrestling had hit that apex.
Yep.
Evident leveled off.
Yep.
So like from like 94 to like 96, it wasn't really the coolest thing. But, like, when you get into middle school, so for me, that was, like, 96, 97 would have been beginning of middle school.
Yeah.
You had Stone Cold Steve Austin. You had the NWO. You had Goldberg coming through.
Wasn't any bigger.
And all of a sudden, it was, like, everyone you knew loved wrestling.
Yeah.
And then once you get into high school, you know, you still had, like, 98, 99, 2000, WCW goes out of business, what, like, 2001.
Yep.
And then it kind of was like, eh, little bit. But, you know, we still had, like, the pay-per-view parties. You had a bunch of buddies come over, pay $5 each, eat pizza, drink soda. Someone got diabetes. That's the way it worked out. And then usually it was kind of like it went in a lull again, you know, like around, like, 03, 04. So that's when you guys would have been almost, like, late middle school, early high school and stuff like that. So I can see where you're coming from with that point. And a lot of it really is just it doesn't really breach the pop culture awareness, you know. It almost goes back into its niche for a while, and it just waits to bloom.
Yeah, well, it's funny, because I'm sitting here, I'm like, dude, like, last night I saw a freaking Jeff Hardy jump off a 20-foot ladder and break Devon Dudley through a table, and they're like, hey, man, whatever, why don't you go, you know, play with dolls and stuff. Hey, by the way, I saw High School Musical last night. It was, like, the greatest movie I've ever seen. I'm like, what is this, ass backwards? Like, what the hell are you guys talking about? Like, that's the kind of culture, you know, I grew up in. That's why, you know, I thought it was so taboo to enjoy professional wrestling, and then, you know, I sit here and get older, I find you guys, and then I find the indie wrestling scene, and now it seems like every step I turn, I find another professional wrestling fan, which is actually really surprising to me. But it was just, yeah, I just got a lot of hate for that growing up, and I thought it was really weird, you know, because I was like, why wouldn't you enjoy this? I mean, it's not only a great display of athleticism, but it's, you know, it's storytelling too, and that's, like, you know, the best of both worlds, in my opinion, as far as entertainment is concerned. So,
of course, like, over the last, like, year and a half, I think all three of us can actually say that we've probably ran into more closet wrestling fans in the last, like, 18 months than we have in our whole life. And a lot of it is, like, it's finally breaking that pop culture awareness again. I mean, the Yes Chants, geez, you know, the network is helping out tremendously. Like, if you just have $10 a month, you can relive your childhood.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And you get all the pay-per-views for free. And I'm not trying to sell the WWE Network
okay,
app
Michael
here.
Cole.
Hey, I'm just saying, man, it's worth it. I mean, do you have the network yet or not, Alex?
No, I don't, actually.
And he's a professional wrestler. That doesn't make sense.
Wow. You know, I got to pay bills.
That's true, I guess. He makes a decent point there.
Yeah, but still,
bills are important.
$10.
I still got to pay bills first.
I mean, that's how much we usually ask for gas, and you don't pay that.
Hey, screw you. I pay for gas. Hey, for the record, it's either I pay the gas or when I ask you how much you want, you're like, yeah, don't worry about it. And then you still bring it up.
Oh, man, now we are just getting in straight-up shoot promo.
Anyways, back on topic with indie wrestling. You know, we're going to ignore Jesse for a second.
Oh, come on.
But, you know, you can get back in the conversation after I answer the question. Ask the question. So,
are you going to answer your own question
no,
after you ask
no,
it?
No, I'm not going to do that. So, anyways, you know, with indie wrestling, you've been around as long as Jesse and I have. You know, Jesse's been around, you know, first time that he got on broadcast was the first time I started wrestling.
Uh-huh.
I think he came in, what, like the next Loon Show, right?
Yeah. It was actually a pretty good story, and I want you to tell it because I want to get your side of this story because it was.
I actually want to see how these coincide too.
Yeah, because we had done a couple shows. We had done a Howie show. We did the Amory show, and then we came back to Howie's.
Yep.
So it had been our third show, and it was like one of those things where we were short staffed. Like Ryan Brown wasn't there. Norman Galling was running camera.
God, I remember Norm.
There was no one there in the crowd.
Yep.
You were taking on David Bonner. And
by the way, that date is actually coming up here pretty quick.
Really? That's crazy. And like the odd thing was, I don't know if that was the first time I met you or not, because then we had to sit together for the next 2.5 hours and call wrestling action. So I got to get your opinion on it. Like, How nervous were you?
Okay, here's what happened. So AC Riley's talking to me. You know, he broke into the business. We actually trained together on day one. We went and trained out in, you know, outside of Butchie Davis's house, and it was, you know, that was something. And then, you know, I got a girlfriend in high school, and I was like, you know, I want to hang out with my girlfriend.
Which we got to applaud you for being a wrestling fan and having a girlfriend in high school.
How often does that happen? Thank you very much. I appreciate
the
applause.
Not that often.
But anyways, so then, you know, the opportunity comes up where, you know, I'm trying to break into the broadcasting biz. That's what I figure I want to do with my life. And, you know, then AC Riley's like, hey, man, you know, they might need a play-by-play guy. And, you know, I hadn't seen him wrestle yet. He, you know, that was a way for me to get in and at least see him wrestle because it was, you know, an 18-year-old or maybe a 21-year-old limit. Regardless, I was under both those ages.
No, it was definitely 18.
So I come to the show, and then, you know, I see... I think I met you, and you were like, yeah, you can work, you know, play-by-play guy. And then I remember that you were trying to fix me with somebody, I think, because what happened was you set the gear up, and then we both put the headsets on, and we just shot the sh**. So we just, you know, whatever. We talked for a little bit, and we were kind of, I think, if I remember right, we practiced a little bit. Like, you were like, oh, give me what you got, and then we kind of just ran through some random stuff. And, you know, then I think you were like, well, let me go see if I can find somebody to work color with you. And I was like, oh, crap. Like, you know, I was like, in my bed, I was like, man, I was really comfortable with that Jesse guy. I don't want, you know, whatever. And I think you actually even name-dropped D-Rock. I think you said
something
about
D-Rock. Yeah, I think we were actually pulling D-Rock to be the color guy, and I think D-Rock said he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, so then all of a sudden you come back, and I'm like, oh, now, you know, me and Jesse Von Rudin are working together. Sweet. And we had our first show, and I don't know, I guess, you know, I don't know if we have that, you know, show, if you have that show on tape still, but
we
I
got
don't,
it somewhere.
Because I don't know how bad the commentary was, but I know it was probably our first time. I don't know if that was your first doing commentary too.
It was.
So I don't know exactly what our expectations were, or if we were just like, we just called commentary high five, boom. But then after that, it was a match made in heaven. I mean, I joined you guys for like every single show past that, and I helped out as much as I possibly could. I think I missed, you guys went to Merrill, is like one of the shows I know I missed.
Yeah.
I missed that Merrill show.
That was a
But yeah, that's how everything started, and you know, I was nervous, but I think I was like, wow, this is, you know, this is really cool. It's a lot of fun because that was my first independent wrestling show, and I've never seen anything like it before. So yeah, that was my first time in the biz, and now I'm here doing Grapple Talk with you guys.
And that show was actually really memorable because that was the show that David Bonner broke the ring.
Yeah,
yep. And I was just like, what now?
If I remember right, you pulled yourself together, and that, yeah, there was a couple other guys. There was like Asylum was there. You guys remember Asylum?
I remember Asylum.
I missed
that
guy.
Big monster of a guy. I was like, man, this is like.
Wait,
legit.
He took on Pete Mack, wasn't it?
Was it Pete Mack?
I believe he took on Pete Mack because the previous time we were actually at Howie's, Asylum came out and beat up both Pete Mack and the Lumberjack, and we were like, oh my god, this guy is huge. He was built like a brick house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that was, you know, that was really cool to see. And then, you know, ever since that show. Man, there are just so many memories with so many different shows. I couldn't even count them. But, I mean, there's just getting involved on that first day of the business was honestly, like, I want to say it had to have been one of the most influential things in my life. Like, I know I don't go to as many shows as both of you guys do, but I would have to say that there is so much of my life right now committed to independent wrestling, you know, just based on this show or based on how, like, you know, maybe one year I go to a show every month or what have you. But there's always, like, that, like, you know, there's now independent wrestling has somewhat become a part of me, as it's probably become a part of both of you guys. And it's weird just thinking back that, you know, me coming in and maybe doing, you know, play-by-play commentary for this one show had such an impact on changing, you know, how my life went for those years to come. I mean, now I've trained a few times. I'm now, you know, slowly kind of managing you, AC Riley. We're doing the show that's getting, you know, publicity. It's just weird to think about. It's actually kind of, you know, take a step back. It's like, you know, it puts you in awe a little bit.
You know, speaking of training, you know, a lot of people know, as you mentioned, that you've done some training. But what a lot of people don't know is that you've been on and off as a trainee, you know, like in the 6 years. And that's the thing I want to commend you about is that, you know, something that you learn, you know, like a dropkick, something as simple as that. And then a year later, you come back to training and you remember it perfectly.
Yeah.
And then that's the thing I want to ask is that you've definitely been on and off with training. Why do you keep coming back to it?
Just love for it, man. You know, like, I'm still a kid at heart. You know, I'm still pretty young. And, you know, it's just like, I don't know. That's a really good question. Because, honestly, you know, there's a point, I think, you know, Jesse can agree with me, too. You know, there's a point where, you know, to be honest, like, even right now, just how things are going with, you know, graduating, you know, school and the jobs I have right now and just the direction my life is taking, I can be honest right now and say that there's probably, like, a 20-80 chance that I actually ever will have my first match. But it's just, you know, it's so fun being in the ring. And even if it's just training and, you know, going through chain wrestling, doing drop kicks, you know, doing monkey flips and landing on my feet, by the way.
Yeah, that was actually a lot of fun to see you go through that progression. And, you know, that was, what, the last SWE show,
yeah, that
wasn't
was
it?
The last SWE
and
show.
And there was me, Vic, a couple other guys were horseshoed around, and like we started eavesdropping on it. And like first time you almost get it. Second time you almost die.
I tried to stand at it.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden like you get the feet, and then you go over, and you're like, he's gonna get in the next one, and just like the sun rises, man, you landed it, and like you couldn't see your face, but you lit up the smile. And then you bent over halfway, and you're like, man, I'm fucking tired.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I need five. And Dave Bell, bless his heart, is like, yeah, brother, after you nail another one.
Yep.
So you had to go do that other one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I mean that. Yeah. And it's just, you know, doing that kind of stuff. Like I don't, you know, and even when I'm training, I'm not ever necessarily like, you know, I'm gonna be, you know, hard training. I'm gonna get my first match next month. It's just, you know, I enjoy. It's fun being in the ring. It's fun being with the guys. It's fun. Like, It's a different way of picking their brain, because you're literally in the ring with them learning their craft. You know, instead of talking with them on the outside of the ring, talking with them at the after show, I'm inside of the ring with Dave Bell, with Sexy KC, with Steve Stardom, with whoever you want to, you know, whoever has been in the ring with me before. And I'm learning progressions and, you know, psychology and things that they go through during a match that I probably wouldn't learn just chit-chatting with them. And I think that's really cool. And, you know, it's just, oh, man. Honestly, you don't want to waste people's time, but if you could get in the ring and just train once with somebody, I think it's just one of the coolest things you can possibly do. And that, I mean that in the best way possible.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I a lot of the times when you're, you know, going out to train and stuff like that, I, you know, try to egg you on a little bit, you know, to do it. You know, sometimes you're like, I don't know, I don't really want to do it. And like, I think you probably do there. Well, he's kind of talking. It's like, well, I bet if you ask him, he'll probably go train. And a lot of that is, you know, I want to see how you're improving. I want to see, you know, how you're retaining your information and everything like that. So a lot of times I'll watch ringside, see how it's going from that angle, because, I mean, that's what the fans will see.
Yeah.
You know, the fans are going to get on the apron like, hey, good job over there. Yeah, I made $15 and I get to stand on the apron or anything like that. So that's one of the things I want to do. And then, you know, granted, you know, like, I'm not anywhere close to, like, Dave Bell's level or Steve Starm's level or any by that means at all. And I know Jesse's, like, nodding his head with that because, you know, he's
I'm
funny.
Shaking it. I'm not nodding. I'm shaking. No.
Well, he's being funny. Yeah. He's being a funny guy. But, you know, that's the thing, though, is that while I'm not super experienced, I at least have some idea of, like, what it was like, you know, being in your shoes.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of it is I can, you know, pass down my wisdom. You know, I don't have a whole lot of it, but at least I can, you know, share something that happened with me that maybe you're experiencing as well, and I can tell you right away instead of having you try to guess it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, I want to say I'll never want to, you know, I want to get in the ring. It's just like circumstances, you know, like we just talked about, you know, last show I trained at was SWE however long ago. It's those
back in April.
Yeah, the opportunities don't, you know, come up as often. You know, if I want to get trained, I need to drive. You know, there was an opportunity where I was maybe going to start training in Powell, but guess what? That's, you know, what, a 5-hour drive for me every single Sunday. I got to wake up, got to go, you know, train for however many hours, then 5 hours back. And, you know, it's you know, that almost says a lot, too, about the guys that are in training, just the determination, the grit that they must have to get in the business. You know, it's very, very commendable. It's something I wish that I had. But, you know, and that's, you know, that's part of it, though. I mean, it's something I wish I could do. And, you know, it's just being in the ring is just something completely different than you could honestly describe compared to being on the outside. And that's, you know, why I train.
So, you know, getting to see your evolution as a broadcaster, going through the motions, being a color commentator, then being a backstage interviewer, doing play-by-play. What's your ultimate goal in the business? Do you want to keep more on the broadcasting side, or would you rather get behind the scenes and maybe, I don't know, maybe pilot television or something?
Great question, actually. And, you know, that's something that we've talked about before, too. I mean, mm-hmm. If the opportunity ever arose, you know, like, work in Ring of Honor, do something cool like that, I mean, I would jump on that in a heartbeat. But how often? I mean, there's two commentators for Ring of Honor, right?
Yeah.
So there's two commentators. There's two commentators for Raw, you know, maybe three, whatever they do nowadays. You know, there's two commentators for TNA. You know, out of how many people would want that job? It's just, you know, it's slim to none. And, you know, I think if, you know, an opportunity ever arose, like, you know, I want to be in broadcasting, you know, but I mean, if there was ever that kind of chance to try to do something in big time like that, you know, I think it'd be hard to say somebody wouldn't take that in a heartbeat. I know that, I mean, you've talked about that before. Even being a writer or something, working as anything in the biz would be a dream come true, but it seems like, it's kind of like, you know, it's like aiming to be in the pros. You know, it's like aiming to, you know, play basketball in the NBA, coach in the NBA, be a major league umpire, so, whatever position you have, it's something that's so impossible just to, understand the concept of grasping, something that high up, that it seems like, I've always been a really realist guy. Like, when I talk about, I was just honest with you guys about being, training and being a wrestler. Like, I've always been really real about it. I have this job. I can only make it to this many shows. I have this much money to put down for gas and training. Like, it's probably not going to happen. I've always been a really big realist. And I think that's, can hamper a little bit as far as living a dream come true. But, I don't know. I mean, honestly, an ultimate goal, I mean, if you want to just talk about the biz in general, would be, I guess working and doing anything in the biz to make a sustainable income, to help support a family, I think, would be an ultimate goal. Whatever that would even would be. I mean, if you want to put me on photo crew and I'm taking snapshots and this, side of the ring on Raw, if I can make enough money to sustain a family, yeah, go ahead, sign me up. But, it all comes down to that, so.
That's actually probably the most realistic thing anyone's ever said on Grapple Talk.
Yeah, well, there you go. But you know what? Honestly, I'm starting to blush a little bit. I think that's enough talking about me. We got some more stuff to cover.
We'll turn off that spotlight.
Yeah, turn off that spotlight. We got some more stuff to cover after the break, so you're listening to Grapple Talk. We'll be right back.
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Josh, you're probably thinking to yourself, what the heck just happened? You see, this has been boiling over for a while, and yesterday was the straw that broke the camel's back. You see, Josh, you went online and you tweeted about how yesterday to the day was 15 years since the first time we'd ever got inside a professional wrestling ring.
You're feuding over Twitter?
And it has been 15 years for me, but not for a part-timer like you. It's been maybe 5 or 6. You see, I travel the country, I travel other countries all over the place, giving my blood, sweat, and tears to this business. Not so guys like you, who want to pretend to be pro wrestlers every once in a while, can come and get a quick couple bucks. It's guys like Josh Prohibition. It's part-timers like Josh Prohibition that are tearing this business apart. The only reason they still cheer for you, the only reason they have cheers left for you, is because you go out and drink with them on the weekend.
All right, that's a clip from Absolute Intense Wrestling. They had a show, last weekend. It was from a match from Matt Cross, M-Dog 20, as a lot of people know him, and Josh Prohibition.
Great beard, by the way.
Great beard.
Fantastic beard.
Yeah.
And beard. Nobody's denying that.
No.
Yeah, and a lot of this was starting out because, as they mentioned in the beginning of the clip, is that Josh Prohibition on Twitter was saying that at that time he had celebrated 15 years in the professional wrestling business. Something that a lot of people would say, oh, wow, congrats, man. You've done a lot of work with it.
Yeah.
Matt Cross, though, he was saying, you know what?
In different words.
You're a part-time wrestler. For you, it's been about 5 to 6 years, compared to Matt Cross, who is a full-time wrestler and spends 15 years, and it was actually 15 years.
Yeah.
So, normally we kind of joke around with, wrestler's perspective. It's a really simple question. It's just then and done and everything like that. But, I figured, seeing this kind of clip, figured that it definitely opens up a conversation because, we've had part-time wrestlers on the show. We've had full-time wrestlers on the show. So, we kind of wanted to talk about the pros and cons of both. We have the full-time wrestlers that literally all they do for income is go to professional wrestling shows. Their income is based on how much they make at the shows, how much they make on merch, etc. Where you have the part-timers who are the weekend warriors. They come to the shows. They, necessarily don't get paid a whole lot compared to the full-timers, but they don't really need to because they have a steady job that they have otherwhere, that they get their money elsewhere. They raise a family and everything like that, and then they just kind of do this on the weekend. So,
yeah.
Let's start it out. Let's talk about full-time wrestlers. What do you guys got to say about that?
Before we actually start breaking off into divisions of full-time and part-time, I just think it's a really interesting concept. I personally am not a wrestler, so I don't know exactly what it's like to go through working a full-time job than working on Saturdays or working every Friday, Saturday, Sunday to make an income that you can stabilize, for, rent or what have you. So I don't know what that dynamic's necessarily like, but I think it's really interesting to look at just, in particular, It's tough both ways. You know, I think if you're working in a 40, 50, 60 hour per week job, and then you can just, you know, it's more like you're trying to do something you love on the weekends. That's extremely commendable. You're trying to find time to, you know, break away from that job that you have to work at to try to make some sort of a stable income to try to help raise a family or just, you know, live, you know, in general, and then able to try to find that time. That's extremely commendable. So being a part-time wrestler, I don't think is anything to, you know, frown upon, you know, but that was a great promo, by the way, by Matt Cross. I think that needs also
phenomenal
promo. But, you know, and the same thing goes for the full-time wrestlers. I mean, they are, you know, they're putting so much on the line as far as hoping that they make enough money to have that income. But, man, I mean, can you imagine, like, living that dream? Like, for me as a kid, dude, like, if I could have been playing pickup basketball at the Y, you know, Friday, Saturday, mm-hmm. Sunday, and making an income off it, I mean, that would be a dream come true for me. You know, I'm not playing in the NBA, but I'm still able to make enough money playing basketball somewhere else where I can live off that. I mean, that's literally a dream come true. So, I mean, if you're able to do that as a full-time wrestler, you know, kudos to you, because obviously you've worked hard enough to be able to earn that. But I don't think there's any sort of, you know, wagging of a finger at a part-time wrestler just because, you know, they have to make money elsewhere. I mean, that's, you know, that's, but I guess it's a little different too if you are, you know, big enough to, you know, make that income. I don't know. There's some sort of a gray area, but I think there's no way that you can really, you know, put one or the other down. It kind of, they're two totally different dynamics.
Well, one of the other things to give a lot of props to a full-time wrestler is, as Matt Cross said, is that, you know, if a show's canceled, you're not making any money that day. And if you don't have any money, and as he said, if you go to a grocery store with no money, you don't eat. So, I mean, that would be an interesting thing to think about as well, is that, you know, if you're getting a lot of money to come to a show, you find out, oh, sorry, it's canceled, things came up, you were planning on that steady income, and then you don't get it. So,
well, that's one of the, I'm going to cut you guys off here, because, like, you brought up the thing, like, if a show gets canceled and you're a full-time guy, you're not going to get paid. A lot of the full-time guys have guaranteed money up front.
Yeah, exactly.
So no matter if a show gets canceled or not, they're going to at least get some type of, you know, financial compensation out of that deal, which is really good. Now, going back to, like, full-time versus part-time, it's almost similar to working a full-time job and then having a secondary job on the side. That's what a lot of these wrestlers probably have to go through. I mean, we probably know more part-time wrestlers than we actually know full-time wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you got to do what you got to do to survive. And if you're a full-time wrestler, you got to do what you got to do to survive. There's only so many places you can go to make a living at without traveling all over the place. I mean, you could have your base, let's hypothetically say Cleveland, Ohio, right? That's a great area because then you could hit up Pennsylvania, Maryland, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, stuff like that. But let's say you're a full-time wrestler in Utah.
What do you got?
You got nothing. It's not Utah. Really. You might be able to go to New Mexico. You might be able to go to Wyoming, North Dakota. So a lot of it, it's like if you want to be full-time, you got to make the commitment to be full-time. You got to basically change your life. You got to stop doing bad things to yourself. I mean, Matt Cross could be memorable for being straight edge, but you got to keep yourself in tip-top shape, because if you go down with any type of injury,
done.
You're not eating.
Yep.
Because you're not going to get insured.
Yep.
You're looking at, what else? You know, a lot of it, it's like, you're going to get X amount of money from the book, but you got to make sure you can push your merch.
Yep.
Because if you can get a shirt made for, let's say, $5 and turn around and sell that shirt for $10, that's awesome.
Exactly.
You made $5 profit
exactly.
Right there. So it's one of those things where you have to hustle for a living as much as you can be in a full-timer.
That's something that actually Greg Iron said when he was here on one of our other spotlights. Mm-hmm. You know, he's talking about, you know, how good he was with marketing and why it was so important, because that's an additional amount of money that he's making at the show, instead of just what he was agreed to from the promoter.
Exactly.
I just think it's so just crazy to think about that. Man, if you had the opportunity to where you just totally devoted your life to professional wrestling, I think a lot of guys that we see on every weekend would do anything to have that. You know, I think that's why it's funny, you know, that promo and everything. You know, it's just like, you know, if you could make enough to do whatever, you know, why? Oh, man, I'm just thinking about, you know, having those Friday, Saturday, Sundays, or Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, or however many days you work a week, and then the days you have off, you're just devoting more and more time to building that character, building that merch, building your physique to try to be ready for that next week's shows. And that just seems so crazy to me because, you know, we know so many part-time guys as it is. And, you know, and like you said, it's a struggle, you know, because it's like you have your full-time job, and then the wrestling, it really is a part-time gig, because if you want a lot, like you said, a lot of the guys we know are part-time wrestlers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the really good guys, you know, really good part-time guys that we see that are getting booked everywhere are still only part-time guys that have another, you know, 40-hour week job. So these guys not only are working that 40-hour week job, but they are putting countless time into building that character, that persona that's getting booked everywhere every other weekend, every weekend, every maybe 2 days a week. And that to me is almost, that's like having two full-time jobs because it's I don't know. That just blows my mind to even think about.
I mean, either way, you're either part time or full time. You're going to miss out on birthdays. You're going to miss out on anniversaries.
Yep.
You're going to miss out on friends' weddings.
Yep.
Family reunions, holidays, stuff like that. It takes a lot of commitment. But if you're looking at part time to full time, the full time gig, no matter what, your ultimate goal is to get to the big leagues.
Exactly.
We're talking either TNA, Ring of Honor, or possibly WWE. And that's a different level altogether because TNA and Ring of Honor will let you actually have outside bookings. But the second you get in the WWE,
that's it.
That is your life.
Yep.
It's not so much a job anymore. It becomes your life.
Yep. And that's a really good point. And I think we're good to leave off there. You got anything else to say, Sir Ali?
No, I mean, really all I have is just one question. I mean, Mike Cross said that, part-timers like Josh Prohibition are what is tearing wrestling apart. So just want to get your opinion. Do you think that's the case or do you disagree?
I absolutely disagree 100%. And, great promo by Matt Cross. Hopefully it wasn't all heartfelt, I guess. I don't before we break the fourth wall there. But hopefully it wasn't all heartfelt. But, because I think, part-time guys are what make, the indie scene kind of run. Like we just said, there are how many promotions that run in Wisconsin off of part-time guys. And a lot of people think part-time is part-time, you mean like The Undertaker that wrestles once a year at WrestleMania? It's like, no, dude, part-time meaning, these guys can't make a sustainable income off of, wrestling at these shows that don't pay them enough to be able to only devote their time to these shows. And, I think, when you talk about part-time wrestlers, guys like Matt Cross, guys like, other guys like that in the indie scene, Zach Gowen right now, for example, that we've seen lately, are a dime a dozen. So, when you see all these other part-time guys, they are the life and blood of the show. They are the role players, and they make the indie shows happen in this area and give us, the entertainment that a lot of people love to see every single week. So, yeah, that is definitely not the case, in my opinion.
How about you, Jesse?
I almost have to agree with everything Nick said there. I don't know if there's one thing that's really the cancer of independent pro wrestling. If it's anything, it's pretension. I think a lot of that, a lot of saying that you're better than someone else. I don't think there's enough veterans on the indie scene to correct that mindset with a lot of kids. And then more than less than after that is, then you're going to go into this whole psychology speech of like people like 15 moves of doom and all of a sudden they lose by a schoolboy or something like that. I don't want to get on that subject matter tonight.
We'll leave
that for some other time. But a lot of it really is people don't have a place to go to war.
Yep.
And that's really what's killing the business because then you have to worry about relying on gimmickry to get people in the doors.
Yep.
Yeah. And I agree with you guys 100%. I mean, if you think about it, if you think about pro wrestling as any other job, most of the time you start off part-time because, you probably don't have a lot of experience. They're trying to, work your way and stuff like that. And if you're good enough, they'll promote you to a full-time position. Hey, you've been working really well with this. We want to offer you a full-time spot. And that's what a lot of indie wrestlers do is that, they're working towards a dream. A lot of them really want to get into the big leagues and everything like that. So they, work on the weekends. They really hone their craft. And then, if there's a scout, it's like, hey, we want to bring you on to one of our shows. For example, we saw a lot of guys go over to Minneapolis and also to Green Bay just this week. That's one of those opportunities where a part-time position could be a full-time. And so on that note, like you said, if there weren't part-timers, there wouldn't be a lot of shows.
Really quick before we wrap this up, since you are, I actually kind of want to just pick your brain about this since you're actually in the biz right now and you kind of, you've had countless matches and stuff like that. And so in your opinion, would making it to the big leagues, would that be like, getting a contract with WWE? Would that be making it on Raw? Or would that be, getting booked all over the United States and just living off of selling merch? And not having to work a job?
My opinion?
In your opinion, what would be making the big leagues? Because I know a lot of guys would maybe say, guys like Colt Cabana. I mean, that guy, he was going to be at First this Saturday. he lives off of indie wrestling, and he sells a ton of merch, and he's able to live a comfortable life. I mean, I've heard him say that on Art of Wrestling, you know, his podcast, you know, 100 times. So in your opinion, what is making it to the big leagues?
For me, I would honestly say I would want to be able to do, you know, going, you know, to wrestling shows all over the country, everything like that. Because while it would be great to get into the WWE, I'm not denying that. Like you said, it will become your life. You know, whereas like TNA or Ring of Honor, you have a little bit more freedom. You know, if you're going to a Ring of Honor show, you know, the next day, hey, there's a show this way. I'm going to go there. Okay, great. Have fun, kind of thing. And I think it's nice to have that that luxury because, you know, you can go to these shows. You know, you can, you know, get more experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you're not going to get experience in the WWE. I'm not saying that at all. But I mean, it's nice to be able to go, you know, meet all these other guys. You know, and bottom line, you're going to be going to a show and getting booked, and you're going to meet new faces,
yeah,
more or less,
yeah,
you know, every time you go to a show.
Yeah, I just thought that was, you know, an interesting concept. Like, honestly, like, if I could get booked to do backstage commentary for, you know, some indie wrestling fed, you know, twice a week, and I could live off it, I'd probably do it. But, I mean, that's just, you know, whatever.
Hey, I totally agree with you. I mean, if I got the opportunity, I'd call a Shimmer show.
Yeah,
right?
Why not? Why not, dude?
You know, I want to try something new this week, guys. I haven't really brought a lot to the table, to the format of the show. You know, I'm just kind of been that guy.
Hey,
so I'm like, oh, you know what? YouTube recommendations, right? How about AAW Pro Wrestling? Check them out on YouTube. They actually got a show on Roku as well.
Okay.
They put out a phenomenal product out of Chicago. Look them up, guys. I think you'll like them.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough, Jesse. We will definitely look that up. Who was that again?
AAW Pro Wrestling.
AAW Pro Wrestling. Make sure you check them out. You heard it here. Jesse Von Rudin. You know, I don't think you get enough credit for actually, you know, the kind of wrestle nut that you are. You're a pretty big wrestle nut. I think actually we called you on your spotlight, which was like episode 3 or 4, something like that. I think we called you the, what do we call him? Like the brain of independent professional wrestling or something like
sure.
that.
Sure. Sounds
know,
right.
A guy, that's a terrible nickname. There's
I don't remember. I don't remember
he came up with it.
I don't remember what it was. It was actually kind of a cool moniker, so make sure you listen to that episode on our Podbean account if you haven't so you can hear what kind of a cool nickname we gave Jesse Von Rudin. Good plug by me, by the way. But, yeah, man, I mean, you definitely know your stuff for a guy that, you know, We're just gonna love on you really quick, just you know, because we're just gonna do it really quick before we wrap things up. Because, you know, I mean, a lot of guys really do give you a lot of credit, and a lot of guys come to you for, you know, opinions, and they want, you know, what, you know, they want the knowledge from Jesse Von Rudin, which is, you know, you're not a wrestler, which is, you know, really cool, because it means you know the craft, and, you know, I think definitely take that recommendation to heart.
Well, you had Scott Williams even say that you were talking about some topic, and he thought that he was talking over in a different corner when he knew he was right there.
Yeah, exactly. So, AAW Pro Wrestling, check that out. This upcoming weekend, you also want to check out these shows. Make sure you check them out. We got Fusion Pro Wrestling this Saturday at Izzy's Pub, 186 Broadway Street in Berlin, Wisconsin. First match, make sure you mark this on your calendars, is at 4 p.m. It's an early show. So, yeah, that's Fusion Pro Wrestling, Izzy Pub, Broadway Street in Berlin at 4 p.m. What else we got going on, guys?
Yeah, so got to remember that over in the Winona area, you got New Age Wrestling's Food Drive for the Community at Charlie's D&D Bar and Grill, 170 West 2nd Street. And yeah, go check them out if you're in that area.
We also got Underground Wrestling down in Valla Park, Illinois. It's 2070 West North Avenue, Unit 21. So make sure it's not Unit 22 because you might be in the wrong spot. Bell time's at 7. You're going to see a lot of great action, including the debut of the Lost Soul, Chris Cairo, who's making his Underground debut. Take it on Joey Mark.
Hey, why not? And then we also got to make sure that you mark this one, too. We got First Wrestling's WrestlePalooza. Pretty much we got 4 shows that are all in different areas, so if you're in any of these areas remotely,
and a little disclaimer,
see these shows.
Remember that just because we have these 4 shows in this area, that's just scratching the surface.
Exactly.
I mean, like, it seems like anytime we publish these episodes, 5 more posters come up on Facebook.
Yeah, so
hey, check out this stuff on Friday. I'm
exactly.
Like, well, the show's already recorded. So,
you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't yet, you always want to run over to our Twitter and our Facebook page because Alex, or, you know, when you post stuff, it actually says your name, your real name. So we're going to say it.
It says that to you guys because you're admins.
Oops, sorry about that. But AC Riley over here. AC Riley does a great job in updating the page with, you know, fresh content. I'm not going to lie. He's the mastermind behind the social media pages. So kudos to him. But yeah, make sure you check us out. At The Grapple Talk, our new Twitter handle, or facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk. We always, as you know, AC Riley always updates it. Make sure you guys know what the shows are.
Jesse's been
going
updating
on.
It too.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Wow, there you go. Apparently, I'm the only person that doesn't do anything here besides talk.
You did that Iron Man flyer, didn't you?
Yeah, I did that one. And then, of course, you know, Matt Cross was on American Warrior Ninja this past week, you know, so we had to plug that as well.
See, that's the thing. You know, two heads work a lot better than one.
Exactly. So, I mean, check us out on our social media. That's The Grapple Talk, both at Twitter and / Facebook. Make sure you check those out because there's always information being updated on those, and it's a great place to go for, you know, independent wrestling in the Midwest content. So, yeah, make sure you check those out. And, yeah. Been fun this episode, guys. A little bit different of a pace we kind of took here. This is a way different format than we've been used to for the past couple weeks.
I like it though.
Yeah, it's been a good time.
Well, hopefully we have someone in the studio next week, or maybe we'll be on site. You never know.
Actually, we might be on site. We've been kind of talking about that, and you want to make sure you don't miss hearing us on site because that'd be something new. We're trying new stuff every single week, and this is the kind of the new innovative Grapple Talk. You know, we are the Grapple Talk.
See, that's summer. You always try new things in the summer.
Sometimes. Not all the time. Not, you know,
sometimes you try new things, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Well, it depends if you're, you know, a full-timer or part-timer.
It does. I think that's a great way to leave it off of. Thanks for joining us. For Jesse Romero and AC Riley, I'm Nick Ragner. You've been listening to Grapple Talk. Stay classy.